A pioneer of the French New Wave has died. Eric Rohmer was 89 years old. His films included Claire's Knee, Love in the Afternoon, and Pauline at the Beach. It's fair to say that Rohmer's films were not for everyone. They were light on car crashes and heavy on dialogue. And the dialogue was not what you'd hear in most movies. In this scene from My Night at Maud's, friends debate the merits of 17th century French philosopher Blaise Pascal. Lisa Nesselson is a Paris-based critic for the British magazine Screen International. Lisa, pillar of the French New Wave, he's gone at sort of the end of an era. What sort of films did Eric Rohmer make?
Well, happily, I wouldn't say it's the end of an era, because a lot of his colleagues in the French New Wave, who are 80 and over, are still not only alive but making films, people like Jean-Luc Godard and Jacques Rivette and Alain René. But it is the end of an era in that he was the oldest of the batch, and he was also the editor-in-chief of Cahiers du Cinéma, the instrumental film magazine where they all got their start. But the kinds of movies he made were intellectual, bittersweet, and, as you implied, rather talky. I mean, My Night at Maud's is about Pascal's wager, and I don't think Jim Cameron is about to make a 3D IMAX film about that.
I mean, in a way, they sound themselves almost parodies of what we joke about French movies being like.
Absolutely. His movies are templates for what, let's say, North Americans might think of when they think of a sort of slow-paced yet elegant French art film in which rather ordinary people are photographed going about their lives, and yet some of them have a very sweet punchline, that there is a point to the films. It's not just random rambling, and there is actual dialogue, but it sounds like the way real people speak.
Do you have a favorite?
I'm a fan of My Night at Maud's, and also Love in the Afternoon. That's one I like, where a married man is tempted by a kind of flaky late 60s, early 70s Parisian chick who's very freewheeling and given to, you know, pulling her sweater off in his office, and he has to decide whether he's going to go with the comforts of wife and family, or he's going to be tempted by the more exotic, wider world. And we also see a lot of Paris in that one, so it's kind of, his movies are sort of a time capsule of what the actual Parisian landscape looked like over several decades.
Now, he and others around him were influenced by people like Hitchcock, but he went on to influence American filmmakers younger than himself. What has been his legacy?
I think his legacy is that he took the lightweight cameras that the New Wave made such good use of, and he put philosophy on the screen so that you could take important ethical and moral dilemmas and make them interesting. And it's true, there were absolutely no car crashes, but he could take questions that we should all grapple with in the course of our lifetimes and make them the sort of stuff of intrigue.
What else can you say about his influence here in the United States and on filmmakers here?
Well, I think part of his influence, whether people realize it or not, is that he showed that you could make a compelling human drama on a shoestring budget. His movies cost next to nothing. And he was also someone who very early on took money from French television to get his stories told, and he didn't see any dishonor in that. And now, of course, you know, a lot of people will tell you that the most exciting work being done in America is in episodic television shows. He made a movie in 1986, The Green Ray, and that was also revolutionary in that it was shown on French television and also released in theaters at the same time.
And Lisa Nesselson, is he still revered in France?
Oh, you know, revered is probably too modest a word, because I don't think I have ever heard a French film critic say out loud or commit to print the idea that any film the man made was minor or less than worth seeing. It was just sort of a given that if you were interested in French cinema in general and a certain kind of semi-intellectual yet accessible and entertaining French filmmaking, it was just a given that you would purchase a ticket to anything he made. So you can say that he was beloved without anyone running around saying, "I love Rohmer, I love Rohmer, I love everything he does." It was just understood that if you cared about movies, you would make a point of seeing anything he made.
Lisa Nesselson, thanks so much for talking to us about Eric Rohmer.
You're most welcome, and it's a sad day for cinema, but it's good to talk about someone who counted so much.
Lisa Nesselson is a Paris-based critic for the British magazine Screen International. Thanks again.